Today's scripture reading is from the book of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 1 to 15. After the Sabbath, as the first light of the new day of the new week dawned, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to keep vigil at the tomb. Suddenly, the earth reeled and rocked under their feet as God's angel came down from heaven, came right up to where they were standing. He rolled back the stone and then sat on it. Shafts of lightning blazed from him. His garment shimmered snow white. The guards at the tomb were scared to death. They were so frightened they couldn't move. The angel spoke to the women. "There is nothing to fear here. I know you're looking for Jesus, the one they nailed to the cross. He is not here. He was raised, just as he said. Come and look at the place where he was placed. Now get on your way quickly and tell the disciples, he is risen from the dead. He is going on ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there." That's the message. The women, deep in wonder and full of joy, lost no time in leaving the tomb. They ran to tell the disciples. Then Jesus met them, stopping them in their tracks. "Good morning," he said. They fell to their knees, embraced his feet, and worshiped him. Jesus said, "You're holding on to me for dear life. Don't be frightened like that. Go tell my brothers that they are to go to Galilee and that I'll meet them there." Meanwhile, the guards had scattered, but a few of them went into the city and told the high priests everything that had happened. They called a meeting of the religious leaders and came up with a plan. They took a large sum of money and gave it to the soldiers, bribing them to say, "His disciples came in the night and stole the body while we were sleeping." They assured them, "If the governor hears about your sleeping on duty, we will make sure you don't get blamed." The soldiers took the bribe and did as they were told. Here ends the reading.
Thank you, Martha. So before I start, I want to, number one, say I'm usually the first person that walks in on a Sunday morning into this space. And one of the gifts that I have is as the seasons change, I see the magic that Tom and Becca have done as they come and they change the banners out and they change the colors and everything else. And I just this morning I walked in and I went, because it's just so different and so beautiful. Because if you recall, during Lent, we've stripped everything away. I also walked in and went, because our Michael Yano had done these flowers today. And every Sunday, we are blessed with amazing flower arrangements. And Michael took this special care. He took the cross that we've had for the season of Lent. You may barely see it. It's down in the bottom part there. This is an old rusted cross that got hit by lightning at one time. And that's to represent the passion that then lifts us up into this Easter day. So, Michael, thank you. When I see images like this, it's kind of like I don't feel like I have anything that I really need to say. And then I think, well, I spent a lot of time this week working on something to say, so I'm going to say it anyway. But thank you. Thank you to all who, and then, you know, this cross, there's just so much that goes into a day like this. And for all of you who are visiting this day, if it's your first time, we hope it's not your last time. For those who've been away for a while, we welcome you home. We look forward to seeing you here. For the many people that are in the world, around the time zones that are joining us, it's just a lovely day to be together. The scripture that Martha just read for us, the last five verses that talk about the guards going into Jerusalem and the religious authorities, interestingly, those five verses are not included in the lectionary reading that is typically read on Easter Sunday and has been read across the world this day. It ends, the lectionary reading that we typically read, ends with the part in which the two Marys, and we think that one is Mary Magdalene and the other is Mary, the mother of Jesus, have seen Jesus and they've wrapped their arms around him and he says, "Go and tell the boys all is good and I'll see you soon." And then it ends and it's all super and upbeat, which is what Easter typically is. But there's this other more sinister element that gets added to it in the last five verses that Martha read for us, because what we hear is some of the guards who were there guarding the tomb, big rock over it, they see an angel descending from on high that looks like lightning, is the way it's described, who causes an earthquake to happen, that the rock may be rolled away and the tomb is emptied. And it says that they are so afraid, they become like they are dead, is the way it's described in here. And after they've come back to life themselves, some of them go into Jerusalem and they go and find the high priests, and the high priests come together and call all the highly religious people together, and they have a meeting, and they basically say, this can't be. This is not a story that we can have going around. So we're going to pay the guards some money, some significant amounts of money, for them to tell a different story. And the story that they're going to tell is that we fell asleep. Sorry, not what we're supposed to do as guards, but we fell asleep, and while we were asleep, the disciples, cue the sinister music, come in the middle of the night and they steal the body. And that's the story that they begin to tell. This is the part that is not usually read on Easter Sunday. You can understand why. It's kind of a depressing little thing. What happens is, what's really happening is something that has been happening for thousands of years before and will continue to happen thousands of years later. Joseph Goebbels, head of the propaganda for the Nazi church, said it as well as anyone could. And he said simply, if you tell a lie big enough and keep repeating it, people will eventually come to believe it. It was a big lie that the Bible records, that they gathered together to create, and they pay off the guards to make sure that that is the story that is told. Meanwhile, there's a whole other story that is going on. The story that the Marys are taking back to the boys, the story that the Marys are going to tell to them, and that the boys will then eventually, and what, you know, interesting in Greek, when it says the brothers, apparently in Greek, if there is one man, even amongst all women, then it becomes a male word, brothers. So let's just be clear. The brothers and sisters, the men and women that were followers of Jesus, they will do exactly what Jesus says. They will meet him at Galilee, and in Galilee, they will be given what is known as the Great Commission, in which Jesus says to do as we just did with Eden, to go into the world and baptize, as we just did with Eden, share the good news, invite everyone to be a follower of the way you have learned from me, Jesus saying this, and know this, I will be with you always. The story that they are telling to the world, the story that they are telling to the world, is a story that says indeed that light will indeed always overcome the shadows, that the deepest of nights will never prevent the dawn from coming, that hate does not ever triumph, that love always will triumph over hate, and that death is not the final word, that God's presence gives us life now and forever. I will be with you always, he says. This is the story that they are telling. This is the story that they are telling as they tell the story of a stone that has been rolled away, as they tell the story of the risen presence meeting them, as they tell the story of a cross that has not been conquered. This is a story that for thousands of years following will give hope to those who have been told to have no hope, will give hope to those who have been marginalized, will give hope to those whose voices have been taken from them, will be the voice, the story that will give hope to the people and the possibilities to the people who have been told there really is no possibility for you. That is the story that will enliven the lives for the next 2,000 years and counting, to give the reality that is very different from the story that is going to be circulating from out of those religious authorities. A story that is akin to a story that has been told for thousands of years before and thousands of years after, a story that is always the kind of story that is told by those who wish to remain in power, those who wish to have all of the possessions, those who wish to be in the highest of positions. It is a story that is told over and over. It is a story that is found in the war room. It is a story that is found in the boardroom. It is a story that is found in the rooms in which the doors are all closed. It is a story that emerges that makes sure that things remain the same. It is a story that intends to make sure that whatever is the norm for this day remains the norm for this day, that the status quo does not change, that those who are in power, those who are in position, remain there. It is the story that has kept people down, that has taken voices away, that has made it impossible for some people to live lives of fullness. Be very clear that what we are told in these scriptures is that at the time in which we hold to a stone that has been rolled away, a cross that hasn't been conquered, there are two stories that are being circulated about Jesus that day and for the days to come. The stories of hope and possibility, and the stories that can't make sure that where power sits, power stays. The stories that say that life can change, the stories that will mirror the very fertile reality of all of God's creation, in which there never is fully death, because from out of even that which dies does life emerge from. These are the stories of hope that will become circulating around this moment and this history. And as always, we who are the hearers of stories in our world get to choose which of the stories we will follow, we will listen, will resonate with our hearts. Will it be the stories of those who are pig-headed, those who are selfish, those who will do anything to maintain their position, or will it be the stories of hope and possibility? And the reality is we know that that is always a choice for us. Those of you that were with us during the Lenten book study, The Future We Choose, written by Christiana Figueres about the climate crisis right now, know that that is exactly what she is talking about. What they are talking about in that book is that we have an opportunity right now in this moment in our life, as we look at the climate reality of our world, to make choices. We can make choices that say, look, it's all going south, it's all bad. Humankind makes bad, selfish decisions. This is what's gonna happen. We might as well get on the train that's gonna at least make things good for me right now. And that being the case, the future that will come our way is a future that is filled with more and more disaster, more and more calamity, more and more callousness. Or, we can tap into the gift of human creativity that we all have. We can tap into the possibility that we can work hard as a community together. We can tap into the possibility that we are called to be a people of love. We can tap into the storyline that emerges from a cave, that a tomb that is now untombed, from a cross that is now empty. We can tap into the stories of possibility and hope. And we can, as they posit in the book that we read together, change the story that is going on right now. We always have that gift and that choice. And we think about Easter, we think about the holy days, and we think that these are moments in history. These are moments in history that simply tell us, give us the opportunity to choose day in and day out how we shall live, what we shall believe, what we shall hold on to. While I was away a week ago, I had a chance to visit with a friend who is doing amazing work in the field of artificial intelligence, which, if you say AI right now, it causes great fear, as perhaps it should be. And they are working instead with artificial intelligence that is based upon the highest of who we can be, as opposed to that which will amalgamate the lowest of who we can be. And they are working to take this amazing technology, and make it a technology that provides hope and possibility. These are people, whether they know it or not, that are tapping into that story of an empty tomb, of hope and possibility and light that overcomes shadows. There are folks right now that are sitting at negotiating tables with simmering adversaries who are ready to tear each other's heads off, that are working not just to make sure that there is ceasefire, but that there is a future that is filled with mutual support and dreams, shared dreams coming to a reality. These are people that are tapping into the very stories that emerge for us when we hold on to the fact that the cross does not have the final word. When we hold on to the fact that it is not death that is the end. That in fact there's a possibility for life emerging abundant and resplendent. This is what it is. We gather together on an Easter Sunday filled with hope, filled with possibility, filled with joy, filled with the green cross out there in the courtyard, filled with baptism and all of that. And it is wonderful, but it's tomorrow and the day after and the day after. What are the stories we will tell? Because there are stories being told in our world right now that would tell us that we need to follow those who simply say, this is the way it is, has been, shall be, and will be forevermore. And those are the very same kinds of stories that happened in that room in which a lie was put together to say that tomb never was emptied. But indeed it was. What are the stories we will listen to? Wendell Berry, wonderful, amazing poet. The very fact that I can say wonderful, amazing poet, I who knows so little about poetry, found this, and I think he says it better than anything that I could say. Rebecca, can you look at that? She's already on it. So listen, this is Wendell Berry, The Mad Farmer Liberation Front, a great title for a poem. Love the quick profit, the annual raise, vacation with pay. Want more of everything ready-made. Be afraid to know your neighbors and to die, and you will have a window in your head. Not even your future will be a mystery anymore. Your mind will be punched in a card and shut away in a little drawer. When they want you to buy something, they will call you. When they want you to die for profit, they will let you know. So friends, every day, do something that won't compute. Love the Lord. Love the world. Work for nothing. Take all that you have and be poor. Love someone who does not deserve it. Denounce the government and embrace the flag. Hope to live in that free republic for which it stands. Give your approval to all you cannot understand. Praise ignorance, for what the man has not encountered, he has not destroyed. Ask the questions that have no answers. Invest in the millennium. Plant sequoias. Say that your main crop is the forest that you did not plant, that you will not live to harvest. Say that the leaves are harvested when they have rotted into the mold. Call that profit. Prophesy such returns. Put your faith in the 2 inches of hummus that will build under the trees every 1,000 years. Listen to carrion. Put your ear close and hear the faint chattering of the songs that are to come. Expect the end of the world and laugh. Laughter is immeasurable. Be joyful, though you have indeed considered all the facts. Go with your love to the fields. Lie easy in the shade. Raise your head in their laps. Swear allegiance to what is nighest your thoughts. And as soon as the generals and the politicos can predict the motion in your mind, lose it. Leave it as a sign to mark the false trail the way you didn't go. Be like the fox who makes more tracks than necessary, some in the wrong direction. Practice resurrection. Practice resurrection. That's how we tell the story. That's how we live the story. We practice resurrection. We practice the truth that love is greater than hate. We practice the truth that the shadows do not overcome the light. We practice the truth that life is waiting to emerge even when we think death is the only possibility. Practice resurrection. Amen.